Welcome to the Life of a Gentleman podcast. Journey with us as we discuss the life of a gentleman and how we can gain more respect and confidence with lessons in life, etiquette, and personal style. Each week, we will bring engaging discussions, thought-provoking interviews, and tips on upgrading your personal style. We are all a work in progress. Let's take this journey together. Let's live the life of a gentleman. Hey, welcome back to another edition of The Life of a Gentleman, and we have a special guest on the line. As we mentioned in his past interviews, Mr. Marcus Strother was going to be joining us and talking about his organization that he has, the Men's and Women's Leadership Academy, that's founded there in Sacramento, California. But also, we wanted to have him on because we feel it's important to inspire other gentlemen that may be wanting to take a leadership role in their community, and also the younger ones that may be listening as well, to know that they're not alone and striving for greatness. So again, we'd like to welcome to the show Mr. Marcus Strother. How's it going today, Marcus?
It's going amazing. I'm excited to be back again. This is awesome. So I appreciate it, and everything is going well. How are you all?
Doing well today. Also, you know, loving the spring weather. We're trying to catch up with you all there in California with the nice weather. But we got our work cut out for us in that avenue. But no, we're doing really well. Good to hear from you.
Awesome. You as well.
You know, last time we talked, we just had you kind of reintroduce yourself and the Men's and Women's Leadership Academy in hopes that, you know, as I said, that you're going to be able to inspire others to reach out and do some of this great work. And I really think it's going to work, because when you hear the excitement in your voice and all the great things you're doing, I think this is only going to be contagious, and hopefully we can get spread across the country and other organizations can reach out to you and connect, and you guys can bounce ideas off each other. That's the goal, really.
Yeah, definitely. You know, and it's amazing to think about how we can be able to share this across the country. And also thinking about a number of people, you know, from Chris Edmond to Chris Chapman in Oakland that are doing the work. Dr. Tyrone Bledsoe is another great man doing amazing work, you know, and all a part of building a network of people who are really pushing to make sure our young people go in the right direction.
Yeah, you know, we talk about this show, you know, the life of a gentleman. But really, a lot of this show, as I said, was basically established to inspire that next generation of gentlemen. Now, we know that young people face a lot of challenges today. So what are some of the biggest challenges do you think young men are facing in terms of living that life of a gentleman? I mean, there's a lot of negative influences. What are some challenges you see? Because you're right there on the ground level.
So definitely a great question when you think about all of the different things that get in the way. So, you know, you mentioned there are a lot of negative influences that are pushing into their space, but it's also just a lot of peer pressure around how do I survive, you know, and a lot of us have conversations about different things like the sagging of the pants. We think about the life of a gentleman, or a certain way that you may see young men carry themselves. But we also try to recognize that, you know, for a high school sophomore who knows that they're in a situation where they have to survive, sometimes they do things that when you have a conversation with them, really is not who they want to be, but just who they have to be to try to make it through the day. So some of different things that get in the way of that is just the idea of how do I survive? You know, how do I make it day to day and not get into a fight? How do I make it day to day and not get stopped by the police? But then also having adults like ourselves who are willing to have real honest conversations with them about how they can without having to sag their pants or cuss out a teacher to look like they might be someone that you don't want to necessarily mess with. There's other things that we see. Just home life, unfortunately, gets in the way of a lot of the way our young people are able to make it. And then an honest piece that I talked about in the last episode was just mental health and making sure that our young people understand the importance of that. So that's another piece of just us as adults being willing to have honest conversations with young people and letting them know that we didn't show up like this. We're not Jesus. Like, we're not perfect. We went through things. We've had our struggles and how we were able to get through those things. And sometimes as adults, we try to make it seem as if everything is great and all you got to do is go to school and get good grades. And when you become, as a mentor of mine, Dr. Alfonso Wyatt would say, kind of that pounder of truth. Like, you got to go to school, you got to go to college, but you never provide that blueprint of what that really looks like and how you get there. You just become another adult who's trying to pound information as opposed to someone who's willing to grab their hand and walk them through and make sure they get there.
Yeah, that's nice what you said there. You know, guidance is really the key, because, you know, there's also a lot of motivational speakers, if you will, that are the same way. They, you know, get you all excited, but never really tell you what you're supposed to do. So I like the fact that you're giving that guidance. In fact, your organization, the Men's Leadership Academy, it seems like a great way for kids to get together with other young men and women that are like-minded. And you guys seem to plan some really great events for the kids, so they have something to look forward to. I know last time you mentioned the trip to Washington, D.C. to see a lot of key highlights there. Do you have anything else that you have planning in the near future?
Definitely. So Angela Davis is someone who, from afar, I've considered a mentor just through watching her speeches or reading anything that she has put together and just following her path. And she is one who has always talked about us as a people understanding the global aspect of our world and how much what we do here in America affects much of the world, and how things in other countries affect us here in America, and how we need to reach out to each other globally. So with that, we have decided that we're going to take our young people next summer to Peru. And that's going to be a great opportunity for our young people to get into a completely different space that they are completely unfamiliar with.
Yeah, now that's going to be different. That's a country that not many people can say they visited. So what made you choose Peru as a destination?
So for California, one of the large populated areas around here is farm workers. And of course, if you think of Cesar Chavez and all of his advocacy and his family's advocacy that they have done here with the United Farm Workers Association, and really putting that as a focal point for advocacy in California. As I moved out here, I realized the necessity of, you know, trying to get away from having food deserts. So there are a lot of food deserts in California neighborhoods that need to be addressed. So we started thinking about how do we help them relate globally from a farm aspect and what that could look like. We have a village in Peru that is a coffee farm, and we are going to go there and allow the young people to start learning about farming from a global level, start learning about farming with coffee and what that might look like, and also the process of being able to do that. So we will be building coffee dryers while we are there, as well as planting and taking care of the village farms, and being able to put our young people in a space where they are learning from not just in the comfort of their backyard, but on a global level, to be able to bring that back here and do some real work here in Sacramento.
Oh, that sounds amazing. So you guys aren't just going to be going there and lounging around on a beach somewhere. You're actually going to be rolling up your sleeves and getting involved in the community. That is amazing.
Yeah, our village there that we're going to is literally in the jungle. Like, it's real. And the young people are going to have an amazing experience with that.
Now, when you start to think about the task of planning something like that, what goes into that? I mean, how much work? Because, you know, we have to just give you the credit where it's due, and your staff and your team, because that seems like a lot of work planning out a trip for that many young people.
Sure. So it definitely is a lot of work, and I appreciate you recognizing that, because many people don't see what goes into getting to that place. So, you know, one, it's a lot of, now we're going out of the country. So there comes a whole different piece of being able to get our young people to a place where they're okay to be able to go out of the country in terms of passport. Of course, we know with our current governmental administration, it is a very tricky situation around travel and what that could look like. So how are we preparing them in that aspect and having some lessons around that? But then it's also raising the funds to be able to take our young people. One of the things that we know is that our families aren't going to, many of them aren't going to be able to put up the money to pay for their child to go to Peru for 10 days and be able to have that experience. And we don't want them to have to do that. So then there's the raising of the funds. But we want to teach our young people, how do you do that? How do you prepare a presentation to go to a corporation like an Apple or an IBM or a local coffee shop around Sacramento to say, hey, here's what we're going to do. This is what we're going to be able to do with it. This is how we're going to bring it back to Sacramento. Will you help us in our endeavor to go to Peru? Also with that is a lot of teaching, right? So helping them to understand the culture that they're going into, because you're walking into someone's village and you are a stranger. How do you do that in a way where you are not offensive, where you are respecting their culture and the way that things work within their culture? So a lot of teaching goes into that. A lot of time is spent helping them to understand that we are intruding on someone's area. And how do we go in and build relationships? That not only teaches them how to do that there, but now also understanding that when they come back home, how do you walk into someone else's space and build a relationship, and what can that look like? So there's a lot of work, and that's just a small amount that I'm talking about right now, but there's definitely a lot of work that goes into getting our young people prepared to go to another country and be a part of someone else's culture and understand how that culture also relates to us back home.
Yeah, that sounds very exciting. And you know what? The things that you mentioned always makes me lead into another question, but time is kind of escaping us. So let me do this, Marcus. If you would be willing, we'd like to have you come back on again and maybe talk to us next time about how we can go about setting up or starting an organization in our own local area. Would you be willing to do that for us?
I would definitely be willing to do that for you all. And it's amazing that you asked that, as we are currently working on the writing of our textbook and also the trainings to be able to help people start these programs in your area, because we want it to be in your area, because we know that people have kids that need these types of programming opportunities. So would love to do that.
Oh, that sounds great. That'd be amazing. So we will look forward to that in the very near future. And until next time, Marcus, take care.
Hey everybody, it's DeAndre Marie, the producer of The Life of a Gentleman, and I have a great deal to offer you. You can save more than 25% off handmade Italian leather shoes. I'm talking monk straps, brogues, loafers, and more. If you want to learn how you can save more than 25% on these great quality shoes, please go to www.itsdeandremarie.com and click on Bespoken Mogul Shoes in the menu bar. And make sure you stay tuned into The Life of a Gentleman.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Life of a Gentleman. Once again, we have the pleasure of having on Tamron, who is the founder of the Gentleman's Club at Michigan State University. And today we're going to talk about what it means to be a gentleman. Now, the first time this young man came on, we talked about how he started this club and the impact that he's having on the community. But this time we're going to dive just a bit deeper and talk about what it means to be a gentleman. First off, though, Tamron, how's it going today?
I'm doing pretty good. How about you?
I'm doing pretty well. Glad to have you back on the line and talking about all the things that you're doing, because the feedback that we received since the first time you were on has really been great. I think a lot of people were impressed with the work that you're doing. So again, we have to thank you for that. You know, me and you chatted offline and we talked about the subject that we talk about this week and what it means to be a gentleman. I'm going to let you go ahead and dive in on this, because you're coming from a different perspective. You know, there's an age gap in between us, and what it means to be a gentleman for me is myself. I'm being a family man. You know, I have a couple of children, a wife, I'm settled down. So I'm trying to present myself as a gentleman to show my son what it means to be, you know, a gentleman and to show respect to women. But how about yourself? You're in college, you're at college age, so it's a different perspective. What's your take on it?
The main thing for me is being respectful. Like, I try to just always do the little things. Like, a girl walk behind me or a lady, I always try to open the door for them. I always, like, try to introduce myself when people are talking. I always do, like, eye contact. And then, like, for me, like, since I'm in college, like, it's always that big, like, stigma in college. Like, being in a relationship aren't cool like that. Like, what I want to do is, like, I'm in a relationship right now, so I'm always, like, trying to, like, promote that, like, how happy I am, how good I am, like, in my relationship. It's kind of that overall thing, just being, like, showing your girl off, treating her right, just kind of like showing like what a like a man like supposed to be like in a relationship, being a gentleman in that way. I take it into like the aspect of school too, just like trying to do the best I can in school, get the best grade, and then giving back to like my community by going back to my high school, just like helping out the younger kids.
Yeah, all those things are really amazing, and I think sometimes it's an eye opener to hear a young person these days say those kind of things, because you know what's sad? You turn on the TV and the news, the media, and a lot of times you don't see people doing positive things like what you're doing. We know that it's happening out there, but it's not being highlighted by the mainstream media. Why do you think that is?
It's just not cool, like the whole like being a gentleman, being with one girl, that kind of lifestyle, like just isn't cool to people no more like that. So, like they don't want to shine a light on that anymore. They want to kind of like shine a light on all the negative things, going out partying, all that kind of like that kind of lifestyle, instead of just shining a light on like the people who are really trying to make an effort and are doing like good in life.
Yeah, it seems like the negative headlines are kind of the ones that sell and get people's attention, but I'm glad to see that you're doing some good work. Now, with your organization and the group of guys that you've surrounded yourself with, how do you guys pick each other up, or is there ever a need to remind one another, you know, what it means to be a gentleman? Does that happen?
I always tell people, like, the new members and anything like that, like, anything you do, like, that represents the Gentleman's Club, you always have to come, like, dressed, like, professional, because, like, your first appearance makes or breaks you, so you want to give people that overall, like, image of yourself, for, like, you want to show people, like, you're respectful of yourself first, and then, like, you're able to respect others. And what me and my close friends did, like, kind of, like, started the Gentleman's Club up, we kind of, like, got together before school started and just kind of, like, told each other, like, our goals. So everybody's clear on like what the other person wants to do, and kind of like made it clear like, all right, like we're not gonna let each other slack off. Like you never see like one person slacking off. Like automatically have to call them out and they stuff, and kind of like make it clear like this is not what you're supposed to be doing. Like you know what you're here for.
Yeah, now that's great having that accountability partner and things like that. It really makes it a little bit easier sometimes. I didn't get a chance to ask you last time, but how do your parents feel about this? Are they impressed with the things that you guys are doing and this lifestyle that you're living?
Yeah, I think my mom was just like shocked because like for me like to start this like it's a whole like process. Like it started from like, the summertime. Like I got more serious about like career focus and just like wanted to like get better grades and everything like that. Like she's really proud of me. Like she just, I think like it's just like the reaction she gets from other people, like how other people are proud of me, it makes her more proud that like she has somebody, like her son is really trying to do something with his life. We don't really talk about like that.
Yeah, but I'm sure, I mean, as a parent, I'm sure that she's very proud, like you said, and it's good that she's supportive with everything you're doing, because it seems like you take it real serious. And because of that, I'd like to get a little advice from you that maybe you can just share with the listening audience, because, you know, we have a lot of listeners we've talked about since the beginning of our show. There's a lot of people that write in and they're just starting out on making this transition to living the life of a gentleman. A lot of times the first thing that starts is their clothing, you know, their appearance. They get a little pushback from people that are wondering why they've changed up their style, why they're dressing up, you know, quote unquote. I'm just curious, what advice can you give to a young man that wants to become a gentleman but is afraid to kind of, you know, break out of the shell that's considered normal?
Yeah, one thing we always say in the Gentleman's Club is the gentleman's greatest power is making the simple things look extravagant.
Yeah, now are you saying like just little details to your outfit or like the finishing touches?
Right now, college, like the big kind of thing is just like all these designer brands, all this expensive clothing. And like one thing, like people who kind of look at the org inside out, they always get to have a lot of money to dress up and like dress well. And like one thing, like I always try to tell them, like it's not about like the money you like putting into it. Like it's just about like making the simple things look extravagant, like making like a $50 blazer look like a Tom Ford blazer.
That's a good trick to learn for anybody, and even if you have a lot of money to spend. You know, it's sometimes it's good to just make what you have, enhance it, look even better. But how do you go about doing that? What do you tell people? How do you make a $50 blazer look like a Tom Ford blazer? Just break that down for us.
Well, the first overall thing is your confidence. Nobody's going to walk up to you and, like, tell you turn around and look at the tag and see, like, what kind of, like, what brand it is. It's all about how, like, if you're confident wearing something, then people are going to be like, okay, like, he's happy in the way he's in and look at you like that. And then it's all about, like, what you, like, the pieces you put together with it. Like, sometimes the big kind of thing me and my friends kind of started at MSU is, like, turtleneck. We're wearing, like, a suit and window on, like, a $10 turtleneck. And people just, like, go crazy over that and think, like, the outfit's, like, $1 million. but really the outfit only cost me like $60.
Right. You know that I'm laughing because you're right. When people see something that they consider unique or unusual, like that you don't see often, like a turtleneck with a blazer, man, that creates a great look, especially when you throw in a pocket square or something like that. It's like you said, people go crazy, like you just took your outfit to the next level. The other thing you mentioned was confidence. And we've talked about that on past episodes, because if you come across, you know, unsure or uncomfortable in that outfit, man, you're going to fail every time. It's just nobody's going to buy it. So I like that. How do you get that confidence, though?
I just get that confidence by just, like, I don't really know how to explain it. Like, I just throw something on. Like, I just walk around and, like, I just say what's up to everybody, like, make myself seen in the outfit and just kind of be happy. Like, I don't always try to, like, pop out. Like, when I wear something, I wear, like, a lot of solid colors and just kind of, like, make everything work with what I have.
Yeah, that makes sense. I'm the same way. I like a lot of solid colors. That way I can mix and match with different things.
Throw a lot of colors together.
Yeah. And if I want to make a color pop off, then, you know, you can just do that with a smaller accessory like a lapel pin or a pocket square or something like that. Or even sometimes your necktie can really stand out. You mentioned turtleneck, and that was a great one. So do you have any other little tips or ideas that you can wear or that you have worn that's got some really great reaction?
One thing that I've done like a suspenders. I wear like a button-up and suspenders, and that got a lot of uproar out here. Like a lot of people started bringing that back. That was a good look. Another one I did was trench. We did trench coats. We brought that back. We wear a vest. Under the vest, you wear like a button-up and a tie. I've never seen that happen before. Then when I've seen it, I'm like, okay, like that looks really nice together. And another thing I do is I try to like to mix and match styles together. So like I wear like a street style, and then I try to like to mix it with like business casual. That way, like wherever I go, I'm well represented. So like I wear like a bomber jacket, and then I wear like a button up and a tie, blue jeans, and then just some Oxford dress shoes.
Yeah, that's perfect, man. You painted a nice picture for the audience. So what I'm thinking is, we'll have you come back on, give us some more of these fashion tips too, as well as, you know, living this lifestyle of a gentleman. But yeah, because those were some great gems that you just dropped on us. We appreciate that.
Yeah, no doubt.
Is there any way people can get in touch with you guys or follow you guys on social media if they want to check out what you're doing?
Yeah, the Gentleman's Club _ MSU on Instagram. My personal page is GC_Tam. The GC stands for Gentleman's Club, of course.
All right, perfect. Everybody, you heard that. So follow these guys on Instagram, and then also follow Tam as well. Definitely, definitely outstanding young gentleman representing on the campus of Michigan State, but also just really making an impact in the community. Thanks again for coming on, and until next time, let's talk soon, okay?
Yeah, no problem.
And now it's time for a segment we like to call A Groomed Gent. We all know that being a gentleman is way more than how you dress, so we decided to bring on a grooming and hygiene expert to give tips about upkeep and hygiene. So without further ado, this is A Groomed Gent, only on The Life of a Gentleman.
Welcome back, everyone, to another segment where we bring on a grooming expert. And as always, it is a pleasure to welcome to the show Mr. Steve Nunez. How's it going today, Steve?
Hey, Richard, how's it going? I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, definitely. We always love having you on. We have a lot of fun. The feedback's been great, and so we want to continue to have you just come on the show and give us some grooming tips. And this time, you're going to talk to us about three new spring hairstyles that gentlemen can try. And that's really cool, because with the new season rolling around, it's time to mix it up, try something new. Wouldn't you agree?
That's right. It's spring has sprung, Richard. So it's time to transition. We're changing our clothes. We're getting into the warmer weather. So we're changing our clothes, which is the perfect time to try a new haircut.
Yeah, no, a lot of guys struggle with this. Some people have the same hairstyle for years. And, you know, that can be old for you and your spouse, you know, or your significant other. So how can you spice it up? What can we do?
Yeah, you're right, exactly. And there's no better time than now to give a new haircut a try. Especially, like I said, it's getting warmer, so I think we need to change our hairstyle to something a little fresher, give some new hair products a try. So the first haircut that the gentleman out there can try would be a clean-cut bedhead. So most of us already know what bedhead is. A lot of these haircuts, we're already rocking. We just need to tweak it, adjust it for the spring and summer season. So bedhead, again, most of you guys know what this is. Pretty simple. you guys kind of have it long in the top and on the side, just put a little bit of hair product and mess it up. So what we're doing here this time around, we're going to use the same bedhead style that you have on top of your hair. You want to leave the top maybe about 3 to 4 inches long, but this time around on the side, you want to get a fade. So we're talking about maybe a mid fade. You want to have it from a 0 to a 1 guard. So just let your barber know, hey, you know, give me a 0 or a 1 mid fade and leave the top about 4 inches long. And that's a new version of the bedhead. So that way, if you want to keep it messy, you can just use some shaving cream, some fiber. If you're going out on a nice dinner and you want to have a clean cut look, you can still use pomade and still comb your hair to the side, nice and slick. So it works perfect for spring and summer.
Oh, that's nice. So even though you said you have the bedhead look, if you want to switch it up and get a little more clean cut, you can do that. So it looks like you have a couple options with that one. That's kind of nice. Go ahead and give us number two.
So here's number two. Are you guys ready for this one? This is an old classic that we're seeing back. It's the buzz cut. You guys remember the buzz cut?
Yeah, you see it in a lot of period movies, like from the 60s or 50s or something like that. Now, that's coming back, you say?
It is, but with a new twist. So we're talking about a faded buzz cut. So buzz cut generally means just kind of a one number all the way around your head. So we're talking about maybe a 1 guard or a 2 all around your head. So nothing too fancy, just pretty simple. But this time around, we're adding a fade to the buzz cut. So on the top of your hair, you want to go for a 1, a 1.5 guard on the top of your head. And on the side, we're going for a 0 or a 1/2 guard. So you want to take the fade to a mid fade. So when you talk to your barber again, let him know, hey, you know what, I want to get a buzz cut with a fade. He'll have a good idea of what you're talking about, but let him know, hey, you know what, I don't want it too short on the sides or too long on the top. So that way you look nice and fresh, very easy to maintain, no hair product needed.
Yeah, I was going to say, that sounds like easy maintenance right there. So a lot of lazy guys, they want to jump on that one, right?
Yep, pretty easy to maintain.
Yeah, now let me ask you, since, you know, you are a barber, and sometimes if you walk into a shop and you really can't describe exactly what you want, does the barber mind if you bring in, like, your cell phone and show him a picture and say, no, I want it like this? I mean, does that make him upset, or does it make your job easier?
You know, that's a great question, Richard. If you can't explain it, I actually prefer for you to bring in a picture. So definitely do that. That's a great question. Guys out there, make sure you bring a picture. If you don't know what you want, or you have some idea and you have a picture, that works perfect. I love it when guys bring in a picture, because it gives me a better idea. And if you don't have a picture, you definitely want to make sure to talk to your barber. Something that always happens when we come in here, and it's funny, an inch to everyone is completely different. So some guys tell me, hey, can you cut an inch off the top? I cut an inch. He's like, that's not an inch. I'm like, that's an inch.
Right. You know?
So you want to make sure to if you say an inch or a trim, you guys have to make sure to be specific, because we can't read minds. And at the same time, guys come in and say, hey, can I get a trim from the sides or from the top? And a trim is completely different to, you know, has a different meaning for everyone. So make sure you guys are really specific. And if you're not sure, ask your barber, tell them, hey, double check. So your barber shouldn't get bothered. I love it when guys ask me questions all the time, and I want to make sure you guys are comfortable with it. And so your barber should be too.
Yeah, that's just something I wondered. Thanks for answering that. That makes sense. It seemed like it would be helpful. But now let's go ahead and give them that third spring hairstyle to try. What is that?
Absolutely. So here's the third and final spring haircut you guys got to give a try. And like I said from the beginning, most of these hairstyles, most of us are already using and styling, but we're just tweaking it a bit. So the third one you guys want to try out for the spring is the relaxed pompadour. So pretty simple. You guys know what a pompadour is. If you don't, it's longer from the front and tapers down in the back, kind of a greaser hairstyle, which most guys use gel or pomade, and it gives you that extra shiny look. But with the relaxed pompadour, same hairstyle, leave the front of your hair longer and shorter from the back. And if you want to get a fade, you can do just a taper fade, which means just kind of the sideburns and the back of your neck, just the hairline, with the 1 guard. But this time around, just use a softer hair product. So you want to use, again, I love using fibers, clays, shaving creams, because they're a lot softer. So when you sweat during the spring or summer, it's not going to melt. It's not going to make your hair flat. So that way it has more of a natural look.
All right, thanks. And you really broke that down and let us know some of the pros and cons for each one, which we really appreciate. I've got a final question just in general. And the reason I'm asking this is because we all have different shape face or different shape head.
if somebody comes in and asks for a buzz cut and their head really just isn't made for that, will a barber give advice to the person and kind of point them in a different direction? Or do you guys just tend to just say whatever the customer wants, that's what they're going to get, regardless of the outcome?
That's another great question, Richard. If you have a great barber, he has to recommend type of hairstyles. And that's exactly what I do. Absolutely. If you have someone that just, you tell them, hey, you know, can you give me this hairstyle? And they don't question it, or they don't say, hey, you know what, I recommend this. And that's definitely at the barber you want to go to. Absolutely. Which is a great question you said about, you asked about the buzz cut. That's definitely not a haircut for everyone. I had a guy who came in the other day. He actually asked for that faded buzz cut, and it was hard to tell his head shape because he had pretty long hair. And I asked, and I told him, I said, hey man, you know what, I can't really tell the shape of your head. If it's pretty well rounded, then this haircut look perfect for you. For example, myself, my head is kind of a cone. It's kind of cone shaped.
Right.
So this haircut would look terrible on me. I've had short haircuts before and it just didn't work out. That's why I have longer hair. But yeah, definitely, you want to make sure you get some tips from your barber. He should give you some recommendations because different hairstyles go with different head and head shapes. And you want to make sure it also goes with your shape of face.
Yeah, that's some great advice. You probably saved that guy, man, because, you know, sometimes you don't know what you have going on under there. You know, I've got a buddy, he decided to try to go bald. Man, he had one of those wrinkly heads, and it I hope he's not listening. I hope he's not listening, but but it came out horrible.
No, I know exactly what you mean. Yeah, well, and then, oh, so just if you guys want to know what happened with the guy, he did end up going with the buzz cut, and turns out, and I don't know if he knew this or not, but he happens to have a pretty big scar like in the back of his head, right in the middle. So it pretty much went right through the fade. So you can imagine that fade didn't look so well on his head. But I don't know if you knew if he had that before. So,
yeah, well, you know, you live and you learn sometimes. But it's nice to know that a skilled barber will kind of point a guy in the right direction. So that's really great. But Steve, before you go, do us a favor and let everyone know if they want to learn more, if they want to follow you on social media, how they can do that or reach out and get in touch with you.
Absolutely. So you guys out there, make sure you guys check me out on social media. You guys can check my daily outfit of the day. I also post grooming tips every day. You guys can check me out at The Social Cut. I also have a YouTube channel, so you guys make sure you guys check it out. I'm always posting tips on grooming and fashion. It's also The Social Cut. And if you guys are in the area in Southern California, check out the shop, guys. We're in Pomona. You guys can also visit thesocialcut.com and make sure you guys stop by and say what's up.
Thanks so much, Steve. We're looking forward to the next time.
See you guys soon.
Well, gentlemen, this concludes another episode of the Life of a Gentleman podcast. We hope you enjoyed the show just as much as we did. At the beginning, Richard was joined by Marcus Struther of the Men and Women's Leadership Academy. They discussed the challenges young men and women face on their journey to becoming gentlemen and ladies. Then, Tamron of the Gentlemen's Club at Michigan State University gave Richard his perspective on what it means to be a gentleman. Lastly, on our segment, The Groomed Gent, Steve Nunez of The Social Cut talked about and described three new spring and summer haircuts that you should try out. As always, we want to thank all of our guests for participating in this episode and broadening the viewpoint on living the life of a gentleman. Of course, we have to thank our host, Richard, for continuing to facilitate and add his insight to the show. If this is your first time listening to The Life of a Gentleman, please subscribe so you can keep up with all of our episodes. Also, please rate and review The Life of a Gentleman so we can improve the quality of our shows. We want our topics and guests to help everyone on their journey to becoming gentlemen and women. And until next time, take care. These messages are brought to you by Harrison Blake Apparel, specializing in fashion accessories such as ties and lapel pins. Join the Harrison Blake Monthly Subscription Club. Each month, they deliver one necktie plus four additional matching accessories for only $25. This is the easy way to build or enhance your wardrobe. To learn more and subscribe, visit harrisonblakeapparel.com. These messages are also brought to you by DeAndre Marie, a young, talented female host who conducts interviews, event coverage, and produces the Life of a Gentleman podcast. For inquiries on how to be featured, please visit www.itsdeandremarie.com.